Welcome back to TRP.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Ross Laird podcast. We're about to play the last two episodes of the CD accompanying Jackie Hayden's wonderful book, A Map of Love. Hope you enjoy. The pieces are read by Jim Parknest for Flack Records. All rights reserved.
Other places. The nature of Dylan's work meant that he spent a lot of his time in London. He undertook 4 reading trips to the USA and visited Italy, Persia, and what was then Czechoslovakia. He enjoyed holiday trips to Ireland, the spiritual home of Caitlin and Conwell, where they married. His need to find a place to work, live and raise a family while remaining close to the nub of the publishing world took him to various parts of England. Yet amid the busyness of his comparatively short life and his prodigious working career, Dylan journeyed back to Wales as often as the demands of his trade allowed him. For a long time, he toyed with the notion of writing a travel book about Wales, in which he would visit painters and artists and journey to Machynlleth and Aberystwyth as part of his research. There were holidays in Wales, of course, and trips away with his father. When Dylan was about 3, the family holidayed in a boarding house in Llandrindod Wells. In 1929, he went with his father to Abergavenny to visit the recently married Doris Williams. When her husband, Randolph, nearly crashed the car on the way back from the Brecon Beacons, all Dylan could say was, "Lovely, Uncle, can we go back and do it again?" In 1930, he took a break with his school friend Cyril James to St. Ogmell's near Cardigan, where Cyril's relatives had a farm called Yr Hendre, overlooking Cardigan Bay. The visit inspired some of Dylan's more juvenile poetry, including some lines about a girl he met there called Chloe. Although Dylan never learned to drive, and cycling and walking were not as high on his list of activities in his adult life as they had been in his youth, the kindness of car-owning friends, such as the Pembrokeshire-born painter Augustus John, enabled him to see more of Wales than he might otherwise have done. Dylan attended the Eisteddfod in Fishguard in 1936, and that town, which links Wales by daily ferry to Caitlin's Island, was also the location for the filming of his play for Voices under Milkwood, starring renowned fellow Welsh actor Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor and Peter O'Toole. The setting for the dawn sequence in that play is believed to have been inspired by the Druid stones that overlook Fishguard's old harbour. Returning from one trip to Fishguard with Augustus John and the then single Caitlin McNamara, the trio stopped for a drink at the Boar's Head in Carmarthen. But a row ensued between Dylan and John over Caitlin, resulting in Dylan being knocked to the ground. In wartime, Dylan was called to Llandeilo near Carmarthen for an army medical, having pleaded against being called up for active service on account of ill health. He is reported to have attended the medical in a state of inebriation and was given the lowest category of suitability for service. He visited Aberystwyth in 1934 to meet one of his favourite writers, the irreverent satirist Caradoc Evans, and that visit inspired Dylan's story, The Burning Baby. Evans told Dylan the tale of a Dr. Price who claimed to be a druid and who had a son he called Jesus Christ. When the child died, aged 5, Price burned the body on a hilltop on Carlan Fields in Llantrisant. In 1942, a short break in Cardiganshire gave him material for the film documentary Wales, Green Mountain, Black Mountain, which he scripted and produced. And the mines of South Wales feature in the documentary Our Country. The Rebecca riots that took place in protest against toll road fees in Pembrokeshire, Cardiganshire and Carmarthenshire in the 19th century were the basis for the film Rebecca's Daughters, for which Dylan penned the script. He also wrote the dialogue for the film Three Weird Sisters, about three women from the Welsh Valleys. When his father was cremated in Glyn Taf Crematorium in Pontypridd, the occasion greatly distressed Dylan. The wind blew the smoke around the grieving son, who felt he was breathing in his father's remains. It made him extremely ill. In 1950, he went to Pendine Sands to visit the set of the film Pandora and the Flying Dutchman. During one of the trips his American tour manager made to Wales, they travelled as far as St David's in Pembrokeshire, visiting the cathedral there, before heading off to enjoy a lobster dinner in Fishguard. In 1953, when he and Caitlin visited St David's, they posed for a photograph, possibly the last one of them together. Dylan also came to Tenby, another seaside town, to perform under Milkwood at the Salad Bowl Cafe in 1953, probably his last public performance on this side of the Atlantic, before his ill-fated last trip to the USA the following month. His trips to various places in South and West Wales had a sizable impact on Dylan's creative output. He set a prospect of the sea in West Wales, and the tree was inspired by the Welsh countryside. His story, The Outing, was about an aborted day trip by Charabanc to Porthcawl, visiting various pubs along the way. Indeed, it's impossible to read much of his work without coming upon constant references to the Welsh places that inspired Dylan. Larne, Dylan's resting place. Apart from his birthplace, Swansea, probably the place most associated with Dylan Thomas is Larne, the quaint coastal village on the estuary of the River Taf, facing out onto Carmarthen Bay. It became his resting place, and some will argue that Larne was Dylan's spiritual home. Since his death, it's become a place of pilgrimage for Dylan admirers from all over the world. Indeed, because of the Dylan connection, Larne has been called the Stratford-on-Avon of Wales, although thankfully its general demeanour has changed little since Dylan's days. In a marvellous piece for radio, he referred to Larne as this timeless, beautiful, balmy, both spellings, town, adding that there is nowhere like it anywhere at all. He described how, like others, he came one day for the day and never left, got off the bus and forgot to get on again. That may be an exaggeration, but it's a true reflection of the affection he felt towards the place. His daughter Aironwy recalled that he first came to Larne by ferry while on holiday as a boy in Llangain. And after he moved there, that ferry service enabled him to continue to visit friends across the estuary. Larne seemed to create an environment for Dylan that was most conducive to his engagement with his muse. The poem Into Her Lying Down Head was begun in Larne. Another poem, The Tombstone Told, started in Swansea, was completed in Larne, and was based on a story Dylan had heard about a Welsh bride dying while wearing her wedding dress. Poem in October, which he said was the first place poem I've written, contains the phrase, the castle brown as owls, his poetic description of the 700-year-old Larne Castle. The castle is close to Castle House, owned by the author Richard Hughes, who was a good friend to Dylan and Caitlin. The Thomases often visited the Hughes house, attracted not least by Richard's impressive wine cellar, which Dylan made full use of. Dylan was allowed to use part of the house as a writing room, where he composed some of the stories that formed part of Portrait of the Artist as a Young Dog. Dylan and Caitlin came to reside in Larne in 1938, first occupying a small cottage called Eros in Gosport Street. The house was only a few doors from the Corporation Arms and the local cockle factory, and their garden led down to the muddy estuary where they could see the cockle pickers leading their donkeys. Dylan called it a small, damp fisherman's furnished cottage, and they both hated its Victorian furniture. In the poem, On No Work of Words, there's a phrase, 3 lean months, that most likely refers to the time they spent at Eros. An earlier draft talks about no work done in summer Larne, among the cockle boats and by the castle with the boat-like birds. After that lean period, they moved to Sea View, an imposing building near the castle and far more comfortable than Eros. It had the advantage of being close to the gazebo of the castle, to which Dylan could retire for the peace and quiet he seemed to need in order to write. Dylan and Caitlin started their family here, and the poem A Saint About to Fall anticipates the arrival of their first child. Its phrase, his father's house in the sands, must refer to Sea View. Caitlin later described their spell in this house as their only happy time together. They enjoyed visits from many friends, including Augustus John, who said it looked like a doll's house, and Mervyn Levy, Vernon Watkins, Henry Treese and others came too. But sadly, mounting debts with local suppliers required them to move away in 1940. The hard-pressed couple could hardly have imagined during those straitened times that Larne would in time become their last home, and a place where Dylan was arguably at his most content. In an extraordinary act of generosity, and a sign of her boundless faith in Dylan's talents, his great friend and supporter, Margaret Taylor, paid for a lease on the boathouse so that Dylan and Caitlin could make it their family home. They moved there in 1949 with their son Llewellyn and daughter Aironwy, while another child, Colm, was already on the way. An appreciative Dylan once wrote to Taylor, telling her that Larne was this place I love and where I want to live. The boathouse, which he graphically described as my sea-shaken house on a breakneck of rocks, is located right beside the estuary, and at high tide the sea often dashes upon its garden wall. The house latterly housed a desk which Dylan and his father used in 5 Cwmdonkin Drive, thereby completing a circle connecting the poet's early life to its end. Ironui remembers her father testing extras from under Milkwood by reading them aloud all over the house, and especially when he was having one of his long baths. In the mornings he often read and wrote letters in the house, but when it came to his real work, Dylan escaped to his isolated writing shed at the back of the house, actually a garage originally built to shelter the first motor car in Larne. He was doubtlessly inspired by the magnificent widescreen view afforded by the shed's windows across the estuary and what he called the Heron Priested Shore. It is possible today to peer into a shed on the same site, to see the room much as it looked in Dylan's days, with its stove and pages of writing tossed haphazardly around and photos and postcards on the wall. To keep him safe from temptations and distractions, Caitlin often locked him in here for the afternoon, and the children were warned to leave him alone to get on with his work. Poem on his birthday uses the phrase, "in his house on stilts," a phrase applicable to both the boathouse and his shed. In one draft of that poem, Dylan refers to his writing shed in the lines, "in this estuary room with Walt Whitman over my head." A photo of D.H. Lawrence also once adorned the shed wall. The poem "Over Sir John's Hill" was inspired by the low hill of that name that can be seen to the right as one looks out across the estuary, with its abundant bird life, herons and cormorants, and what he called the dab-filled shallow. The poem contains several references to the myriad aspects of nature that were present in the landscape, while also reflecting his more general thoughts on the natural cycle of life, death, and renewal. On the other side of the hill is Salthouse Farm, whose name has its echoes in the Salt Lake Farm of Undermilkwood. There's a drawing Dylan made of the layout of the imaginary Llaregib that looks like a mirror image of the view from this hill, suggesting Larne as the basis for the topography of the play. In support of the Larne as the model for Llaregib argument, Dylan's biographer John Ackerman also points out that Manchester House, Rose Cottage and Bay View are all named houses in Larne used in the play. But the same map has been used to bolster the new key claim. From the boathouse and looking in the opposite direction to Sir John's Hill, Dylan could see the church of Llanabree with its spires, the size of a snail with its horns through the mist. As Daniel Jones wrote in his introduction to a book of Dylan's poems, the later poems of Dylan Thomas are full of reference to or imagery derived from the waterbirds and the birds of prey he saw in such numbers from the window of the hut where he worked, overlooking the Larne estuary. The natural environment around that estuary fed into his poem prologue too. But apart from the inspirational sights and sounds it afforded him, the shed gave Dylan a retreat away from the hubbub of family life. His relationship with Caitlin was often tempestuous, physically and verbally abusive on both sides, as both constantly battled their own demons and each other. Yet their daughter Ironui recalled her childhood around Larne as being free and unrestrained, describing it as a wonderful adventure playground. The poem in Country Sleep refers to Ironui in the lines, "Sleep, good forever, slow and deep, spelled rare and wise, my girl, ranging the night in the rose and shire of the hobnail tales. Dylan's shed backed onto a path now called Dylan's Walk, where a neighbour recalled finding scraps of paper discarded on the ground and which he tried in vain to piece together again. That path conveniently led to Brown's Hotel, a favoured haunt of Dylan, and where some of the best known photos of Dylan were taken. Here he might enjoy the local gossip supplied by his close friend Ivy Williams, co-owner of the pub with her husband E.B. She was extremely generous to Dylan whenever he was short of money, which was often. If while socialising in Brown's, Dylan's ears caught a telling phrase or he was struck by a useful idea, he would jot it down on any convenient piece of paper for later consideration. Dylan also drank in the Corporation Arms, which has also been suggested as the basis for the Sailor's Arms in Undermilkwood. He visited the Cross House Inn on the square they called the Grist, some of whose regulars are also believed to have influenced the characters Dylan created for the play. Dylan himself once tellingly said, "What Larne really needs is a play about well-known Larne characters." When Undermilkwood first emerged, many local people were hurt by what they felt was a lampooning of their town and its inhabitants, but later grew to like it and even argued proudly over who had inspired which character. Dylan refers to the Grist in a letter to his father in which he expressed his appalled reaction to the war and writes, "Wives and mothers weep around the stunted memorial in the Grist." Between the pubs stood the town hall with its clock tower said to be the origin of the reference "as tall as the town clock tower" in the play. Close to Brown's is Corran Books, owned by George Tremlett, who wrote books about Dylan and Caitlin and argued that Dylan was the first rock star. In 1949, his parents moved to a house in Larne called the Pelican in King Street, close to Brown's Hotel. Not surprisingly, Dylan became an almost daily visitor and would regularly do the Times crossword with his father. DJ's loss of eyesight and his general decline inspired what is probably Dylan's greatest poem, "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night." In a letter to the publisher who first printed this poem, he tenderly wrote, "The only person I can't show the little enclosed poem to is of course my father, who doesn't know he's dying." When Dylan read the poem at the University of Utah, he introduced it by mentioning his father's atheism, but acknowledged how he'd grown soft and gentle at the last. Dylan's father eventually died in the Pelican in 1952, but Florrie lived on there after his passing. Dylan himself died only a year later, aged 39, on November the 9th, 1953, in New York, during the fourth of his momentous poetry reading tours of the USA. Although the death certificate attributed his demise to an insult to the brain, others have variously put it down to his concerns about the dimming of his poetic talent, money worries, troubles in his marriage, the pressures of the American tours, his habitual drinking, and the drugs he was given to help him deal with his ill health. Maybe it was all of those, or maybe none. On his return from New York by ship, E.B. Williams of Brown's Hotel collected his coffin from Southampton Dock, and his body was laid out in the Pelican, which was more accessible than the boathouse. The poet is buried in the same grave as Caitlin, in the peaceful graveyard of the 13th century St. Martin's Church, which is on the road towards St. Clair's. Their resting place is marked by a modest white wooden cross that in many ways reflects the physical simplicity of their lives. He'd once said, "When I'm dead, I want to be buried and to feel the violets growing over me." Over the years since his premature death, the name of Dylan Thomas has spawned an industry of its own. Not much more than a decade after he died, his status as a writer was acknowledged by the Beatles, who included his photograph among the international luminaries featured on the famous cover of their groundbreaking album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Artists as varied as the London singer-songwriter Ralph McTell and the Scot Robin Williamson have written and recorded songs inspired by his life and work. Rock legends John Lennon, Van Morrison and other cultural icons have cited him as a profound influence. In the introduction to his 2003 biography, Dylan Thomas, A New Life, Andrew Lycett records that a Google search of the phrase "Do not go gentle into that good night" produced 21,000 hits. A similar search in 2010 came up with over 6.5 million. This is an extraordinary achievement in a world allegedly immune from such non-material matters as poetry. It offers ample proof that the work of this great Welsh writer continues to spread throughout the world. As time passes, greater numbers are attracted to the art, the artist, the man, his life, and the aspects of Wales and the Welsh that inspired one of the greatest poets of the 20th century, Dylan Marlais Thomas, the Bard of Cwm Donkin Drive, Swansea, Wales.
Keep on listening to TRP.